special guest in studio, the one and only Peter Labardius.
Yeah, it's far from special.
That's where you're wrong.
I heard about company in that song. I thought we were going to get a little bad company music, potentially.
It's all right.
Good morning.
So,
good to see you.
To see you guys.
How's the off season been?
The off season has been fine.
Yeah.
As I say to a lot of people, I'm not sure I'm always built for kind of how the world works, where you never stop and do 125 hockey games in 8 months and have kids in different cities and a wife in a different city. You know, this three-ring circus I run, takes a bit of a toll, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the first 3 weeks after it's all said and done, I'm delighted. And then, boom, we've known one another forever. I get itchy. I'm not really necessarily built, but, you know, for the feast or famine program.
I was going to say, there's no one who, and this will shock no one if you know Lou at all, even just from the program, there is no one who has a photographic memory and just at the drop of a hat who will be able to tell you December 14th, well, we'll be in Minnesota, we'll have flown in from Arizona the night before. You have that kind of a catalog in your mind. And then when the off season comes and it's kind of, there's not a whole lot.
No,
you know,
it's true.
One day is not like the other, and it's all kind of the same. It's very the yin and yang of your life.
Yes, it is. It is indeed. But, you know, we're all very, very fortunate to do what we do, and I know I'm definitely in that category, so you do the best with it that you can. There are bigger problems in the world.
Oh, there are, for sure. No, I always like when the schedule's coming out.
Ugh.
When the Flames sched comes out, because I just know that Lou is, okay, we'll get a nice little...
Yeah.
Get a bottle of Coke Zero. We're going to sit down. We're going to pour over this thing. I'm going to figure out where we are, where we stand.
Maybe mix in
some baseball.
Maybe some games to watch, you know, Thanksgiving Day in the United States, you know, at Jerry's house this year.
Oh, who are they playing? Do you recall?
I don't recall,
actually. I'll look it up right now. Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh,
potentially a little previous Sunday before that, watching the Washington Redskins on a Sunday.
Lou, you're making us jealous. The Chargers, my team!
But I will say this. Last year, I had just the absolute, utter pleasure of spending a Monday night watching the Minnesota Vikings in Chicago. There's 3.5 hours of my life I'll never get back.
I recall a sour Lou after that. Yeah.
You have no idea how sour. That was like plucking your eyebrows with an axe for 3 straight hours. There was nothing enjoyable after I sat in the seat. That was good. It's good to go to Soldier Field for the first time. You know, you think it's neat. Your team's 5-1 at the time, and then they just, you know, poop the bed.
Is there anything new with Bridgewater? Like, is he going to play?
It doesn't sound that way. I think he might be a little ahead of schedule, but do I expect him to play this year? No.
Yeah.
I still got the other guy making money for this year, too.
I know.
So, at best, you sit for a year.
It doesn't matter. I've waited, you know, nearly 50 years for them to win and still haven't, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to leave the earth and they will not have won anything.
What just happened?
I have no comment.
Can I guess?
You can guess, yeah. Fire away.
My guess is, now there's the three of us sitting here in this room. Pinder took off his headphones, walked out of the room, turned around and came back in. Did you go drop one in the next room?
No, I didn't do that.
Okay.
So we have guests coming
Plan
on BT.
B, did you go and scope out upcoming guests on Breakfast Television?
They were stuck outside for 3 minutes. Security didn't notice. They walked away. They came back. I thought, okay, if these are guests for TV,
gentlemen,
you really don't need them twice walking away from the front door.
What is with our security people?
I don't know, but you know what? Hank had no clue.
No.
I was out there for about 4 minutes. Now, nobody was rushing to come open the door for me.
Right. I can see now why.
I don't even smell bad.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
dude?
I can now see why Ryan...
Now, I don't necessarily look like those three fine young ladies.
Is that what they are? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, okay.
What a caring...
I smell terrific.
Sort of a modeling thing on BT this morning.
What a caring Rogers employee you are.
It's 3.0, Dean. I'm helping out.
Good
I'm opening
for you.
Doors.
Yeah.
Chivalry is not done.
No, sir.
Well, it's good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Really appreciate your time this morning. Much appreciated.
and you know, maybe chase you around and hunt you down and
chase you down.
Yeah, if this guy comes to the door right here, you're not popping out and running.
No, fantastic. Doesn't look like
well, I was saying
the BT.
The warm weather. When I'm walking here at about 5 to 4 in the morning,
ooh.
She's a little dodgy these days because she's nice and warm. It brings all the crazies out.
Well, maybe I will chase you down.
Can I use your phone for a minute?
No.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
Don't get any closer.
I need you to get me a cab.
Where's the BMO?
Yeah, I got that one the other day. Where do you know where the BMO is? Like, are we thinking of
those aren't open?
Are we thinking of the same thing?
Yeah, one of the great little stories I could tell, only in part, I might add, came at the nearby YMCA parking lot, where, you know, and again, I don't want to make light of it because the bottom line is we're in a day and age where we need to be really thankful and blessed for what we have in our lives because we're pretty privileged people, and it's not that way. But a gentleman came up to me on a bike, which was probably made in about 1932, and he wanted my ticket off my car for parking.
Yeah.
Because part of it is they'd turn around and then give it to other people, and rather them putting their credit card in and do that, they take a little cash. And I said, no, sir, I actually need to hang on to this. And he said, well, that is absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Yeah. That is absolutely awful.
That's a despicable decision and choice that you've made.
After going to Despicable Me the other day, as I heard you guys on the way in.
Yeah.
Bloody minions. And he goes, I can't believe you would do that.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm just out here trying to be an entrepreneur.
An entrepreneur.
Yep.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah. He's got the entrepreneur spirit.
Yeah, he sure did. At which time, I'm not sure I've laughed that hard for quite some time.
Yeah,
but it was a great story.
Yeah, it takes all kinds.
It does.
Takes all kinds. So have you been by Windsport yet?
Yeah, I was there yesterday for both on-ice sessions.
So, yes. I mean, it's kids doing drills.
It's July
and all of that, but even just random impressions from what you saw.
You know what, Boom? And I would say this, it'll be better to probably chat about it after the scrimmage. You know, you can only, I think, read so much. But I will say this, the one thing over the years that I've found with this camp, I like to tell the TJ Brody story back in 2008. And honestly, after that camp, and back in those days, you know, the Flames didn't even have a scrimmage. Like, it was literally just skating, power skating, going through some drills. And it just seems like there's one player every year from this event where you go, boy, you know, this kid, you know, he's got it going on. In TJ's case, you know, I left, you know, that development camp going, this guy's ability to skate, I think he's going to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a fourth round pick and still had junior availability left and ended up on a really good Barry team in 2009-2010. But yeah, it seems every single year I've attended, and it's the new guys. That's who I watch. You know,
I mean, new toys for the organization, right?
I like to watch the new guys, or in my case, you know, people that maybe you haven't seen a lot of. So, you know, Spencer Fu. I haven't seen last time I watched Spencer Fu live and in person, he was a first-year Bonneville Pontiac. So it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And just a guy on those teams. He had, pretty okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
And 18 years old to get to junior
A.
Late bloomer for sure.
Absolutely. You know, which is, in a lot of cases, why that route is how people go. So, you know, his buddy yesterday was kind of interesting because last year he was on an elite college line with Mike Vecchione, who ended up the year in Philadelphia, signed there, and Sebastian Widmar, who's from Malmo, Sweden, which will get one of my buddies, Mr. Leslie, all fired up when any time he can mention Peter Loubardius and Malmo, which he is. And those three, including Fu, were on a line, and he was one guy yesterday I actually went, Yeah, this guy's got a little something. Now he's 23 years old.
Sure, yeah.
So
should look good against this group, right?
You know, Valimaki, I love Parsons. Every time I watch Tyler Parsons, and I don't know how it's going to work out. A matter of fact, I had a conversation yesterday, with one of the Flames staff who says, you know, now Tyler in pro hockey, and they already worked on it late last year in Stockton, is going to have more of a pro approach. Because if you've ever watched Tyler, whether it's at the World Junior or if you made your way down the road to Red Deer a couple years ago and watched him in the Memorial Cup, athletic is all get out. You know, about 6'1", so he's, you know, small in this day and age for goalies. Ryan McGill was the first guy to tell me going into that tournament. He goes, yeah, you can think about Dvorak and this guy and Marner, and he's right. But he goes, don't forget about this goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Because he never gives up on a puck, and because London's scoring all the time and winning all the time, nobody realizes how good this guy is. Well, he's pretty good.
Even just to start at that age on a team that's in the Memorial Cup is really, you'd have the context, but I don't think that happens often at all.
Well,
Draft eligible guy in net?
It doesn't, but again, with him, remember, late birthday.
Okay.
So different than a 17-year-old. He right. was in his 18-year-old season. You know, he was in his first year there, but, you know, that's a little different than even what I saw this spring with Karl Stankowski in Seattle, who was a 16-year-old goalie wow. who turned 17 March the 9th. But yeah, you're right. You know,
but with Parsons, when he was playing for the Americans at the World Junior, you watch that and you just, he's not going to let a,
no.
He's not letting a goal in.
No, I talked to Patty yesterday on the air, and it's funny. It's not a good memory from that shootout for me. It's not a good memory going back to 1998 when Canada played the Czechs. But January 5th of this year in that shootout, I felt a little like I did yeah. when Hasek was the goalie against Canada and Japan in the semifinal of the Olympics. If we have 21 shooters tonight,
mm-hmm.
he's probably not giving up any.
And double middle fingers at the same time. He's just got that kind
of... Oh, he's got edge.
He's got that arrogant and swagger. It's so overblown, but I feel like that guy does have that. He's got that ability, mm-hmm. and he's not short on confidence in a positive way, because it affects his play positively, I think.
I think it does. Yeah. And the other thing is, and people might find this a little bit interesting, but not everybody that is really, really good at anything absolutely loves it. This guy went through both sessions yesterday. He was the only goalie to do that. And he looked like he could go for two more. He might like to practice more than he likes to play.
Yeah.
You know, he's about 3 minutes in and he's diving this way and going. I'm like, son, it's July.
And it's maybe unfair to John Gillies and Rittich and whoever else is in that chain as well. But man, and we've talked about it. I just feel like
I'm the same.
He's the heir apparent. Yeah. I just feel like he's the guy.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean the Gillies and Rittich
won't play,
be
can't
things,
play. Yeah.
But I just look at where he's at developmentally. I mean, I feel like he's ahead of where the other guys were. Certainly Rittich, who you'd never heard of until they signed him a year ago. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in the league that are Gillies' age. I don't know that he's this shiny prospect so much as a guy that's close but isn't there yet.
Right. Now, not the same size.
Fair.
But when I think about Tyler Parsons, it's hard for me not to think about another young American goalie named John Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was to compare, you know, when John Gibson was the star of the 2013 World Junior Championship for the United States, and where Parsons was at the same time. Now, granted, one gentleman's probably more NHL prototype sized, but I think Tyler Parsons at 19 was as good as John Gibson. And we know, you know, he's made a pretty quick ascension to the National Hockey League. Now, whether it works out this way, as I said earlier in this chat, there's some fundamental things that I know that he needs to work on. I asked him yesterday, needs to be more patient in his own way, less aggressive. Because in the pros, you know, in junior, you can get away with that. In pros, a lot of those, you know, if you're too aggressive, you end up with a lot of backdoor tip-ins and you're not set for second shots. Because in the NHL, that's what goaltending is. Pretty much everybody makes the first one. Mm-hmm. You need to be set for numbers 2 and 3.
Yeah.
What's the best case scenario development-wise for him? Because there are three goalies that I think they like that are all set to be at the AHL level. We did see the move to Tom McCollum, which clears things out a bit. But that said, are you comfy with him going to the ECHL? He's going to play a ton if he does. I don't know that you can say he's going to play a ton if he's in the A.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
So I just wonder what's best case. I don't know.
I always feel with someone of that age, you need to play. You need to play. So,
and no one's coming here.
No, they're not.
No.
Right? Like,
no.
That's in stone. There's no, well, we'll see what happens in camp. Like, that's done.
Now, I haven't heard anything. Nobody's said anything. I'm not sure this offseason is done.
I agreed. I think there's an area.
I know the work is fantastic. I also think, like, look what happened after the development camp St. Louis just had. You noted, I'm sure, that they've already signed Clem Costin to an entry-level deal. You know why they've signed Clem Costin? Because they think he might be able to play now.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened to Clem is he was on that Dynamo Moscow team where all their players became free agents overnight because they weren't paying guys like they were supposed to.
That's right, there's
the other KHL element. It is. I don't know.
And you're right. That might
he was allowed to come.
But, what I read, he stood above many of the people at their camp, and I can't help but think, one of the reasons that you don't push up the signing process is maybe you think there's a chance he can be ready for opening day.
So I'll just kind of put the cart in front of the horse. Mm-hmm. When you talk about there's maybe not a deal done, are we to suggest that there could be a Gillies trade?
Well, I just at the end of the day, what you need, and that's, we'll probably get into it more about, the moves and what they now have on defense, and now with Valimaki and Anderson and Shillington and Fox, like, you love to have that progression. That's, mm-hmm. It's building. So you always want to be ready when some people graduate, or in this day and age when you can't pay them, to have the next people ready in line to be able to play. Well, I think even, this development camp, take it for what it is, but if they've decided in their mind, like, how many guys do you need?
Yeah.
How many guys do you need? I'm not saying they're going to move Gillies. I'm not saying they're going to move... Like, who knows what's going to happen?
And they already used Hickey's rights as an asset in a way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm with you. We've been talking about it. There's a logjam there, and if you're going to deal from an area of strength and to add an area of weakness, or if you're trying to recover picks, the one area that you've got a bit of a surplus, there's not a lot of teams that have three guys under 25 they want at the AHL level. This is one.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, it's like last week when even some of the questions that I answered on Twitter and people were concerned about Stone and his signing, and we'll get into that a little bit later because, needless to say, I'm a pretty big supporter of it, especially with that group of five that they've built. Well, listen, not everybody can play, and you know what? We don't need to find out right now, but, what Brad Treleving has done is you want to have all the boxes checked. And in goal, he's got boxes checked. Now, and yet, we don't know. We don't know yet if they have the next guy. Mm-hmm. We don't know that. I don't know that. Do you guys know that?
They got three tickets to the lottery, essentially, where the first few numbers have hit. So you're hoping one of them, or maybe two if you're really lucky, they do hit.
And I have a funny feeling that even in September, we might be talking more about David Rittich than a lot of people, and sorry to any of our Czech listeners, because I know that is not how it's supposed to come out of your mouth, although we can't make it happen, Rittich or whatever it really is in the Czech language. But yeah, they're in good shape, and that's got to be a part of where you go next. Tyler Parsons needs to play, and he needs to play, at a level that you're comfortable with playing. You're not going back to junior.
No.
What's he going to do there after the last 2 years?
Yeah.
Done. Finished.
Yeah.
Foolish numbers at that level. Oh. Like, you don't see goaltending statistics like that at that level.
Well, what do you make in, the one game in the second round against Erie? He made about 750 saves. He was the reason that series went all the way to game 7 and in overtime in game 7. So, I think, like you guys, for me, I have a feeling he's going to be the guy. But, who knows?
Peter Labardius here in studio. We're talking hockey. We're talking life.
Absolutely. Always important to talk that.
Little life.
Life's good.
Life's good.
Yeah.
Michael Ferland has filed for arbitration. My guess is Brad Treleving is going to want to get this done before it gets to an arbiter.
Yes, I would think so.
And if you're Ferland's camp and you covet a deal more than 2 years, you best not get to an arbitrator because that's what you're getting.
That's right. I don't know which way this one goes.
I don't either.
I don't know that this is a difficult one. I think there's been tougher ones because certainly he's played well.
I just wonder what the agent, you know what I mean? Because they will have, here's what we think we are, or what we're going to portray we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's what the team is willing to admit that you are in their eyes.
Okay, and let's be honest on Michael Froland, okay? And I've said, how many times have I said this? 1,000. Every tool there is. Every single one. You know, and there you want to talk about life situations. There's a guy who's done great things in his life. Easy to cheer for. What is he? And do we know yet? I don't.
Yeah, I don't know where you slot him.
Like, where does he slot properly?
Yeah, and that's, it's either third line right wing or first.
And does that not make this process more difficult?
A little bit.
It would for me.
Well, I just think you don't build a contract on what a guy could be. It has to be done what he's done. So he's done a little bit of top line. He's done a lot of fourth line. He's done a little bit of third line. So rather than projecting him, I think it's easier to just look at the body of work and say, here's what this kind of player is worth. Because he hasn't established himself as an everyday top liner.
No.
And he's certainly better than an everyday fourth line winger.
Absolutely.
So I think at the end of the day, if both sides covet a bit of term, anywhere between 2 and 3 at an AAV with 3 to 4 years, I don't think that either team would be crying, screaming, pulling hair in the arbiter's room. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think...
Do you think Ferland's camp values himself more than that?
I think Ferland be happy with that. I don't know that the Flames are prepared to go there.
They wouldn't go $2 million for 4 years?
Not after Boma.
But he's an entirely different
player
than
Boma. Doesn't matter. That's the term and dollar that they just locked in.
But it does matter. He's a totally different player. Like, Boma did not spend time on the top line.
Scored 17. Ferland's coming off a 15-goal season.
Do you think they're similar players?
I think that their seasons coming into arbitration are somewhat similar. They've had career years.
Fair. Fair. I mean, did we not all look at Lance Boma's year and say he's never going to duplicate this? I don't think anyone feels that way about Ferland. Like, would you be stunned if he scores 17 again in the league?
No.
And with Lance, it was like, yeah, we would.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
I just think it's not really a fair comparable to Michael, because I think he's done a lot more things than Boma did.
I don't think it's a fair comparable, but if I'm giving out term, and I'm not saying I wouldn't do exactly what you just said, okay? But I'm not... Unless it's easier for me to give term, more so than money, if I know in my mind exactly where somebody slots.
For sure.
And I think, just in talking to people, I think the Flames would love to do a one-year deal. You establish and show us, in fact, what you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you do it again, then make us pay for it, and we'll lock in long-term at dollars.
Just be careful.
But we're not...
Again, this is the Boma situation again. That's what they said to Boma. Prove it. He was a guy that would have taken $1 million a year with term, and they got cute with it and tried to grind him down to 850. And what did it do? It cost them 6.6 over 3 years, and they had to buy it out. So you can get cute trying to save a few hundred grand, but some of the skills that he's talked about and where his life is at versus where it's been and the way he's projected, I think you could lock yourself into the deal here.
That's why I say it's similar. That's why
because no one was thinking Boma was tracking that way forever. It was clearly an outlier season.
But they didn't want to pay him. They give us another year to show us what you are.
Right, and how'd it go?
Yeah, I know, but it
horribly. So why would you take that tact again?
Because they don't want to lock in now. Whether they do it a year from now or now, they don't want to go 4 years at $3 million. If the guy is,
would they go for it too?
I don't think
that's crazy.
If I'm, and again, I don't want it to come across the wrong way, because I'm a fan of the player. I have been for a long time. But I'm still not 100% sure in my mind of where he slots. Yeah. So I'm probably more comfortable with 2 years at that price that you talked about than 3 or 4 at this point.
Then if you're the Flames, walk into arbitration. That's where you're going to get 1 and 2 year deals. Because I think the player has helped. He's contributed, and I think if you look at Lance Boma's year, it's very easy to see why he produced well. He was on a wing with Michael Backlund, and he and David Jones both had great years.
Well, let's
look
take
at
that.
The wingers of Backlund. I mean,
okay, well, let's Ferland, not take that away. Take the Boma thing away for a moment.
Good, because I don't like it. Yeah,
he's played 173 games.
Yeah,
I loved his year on a lot of occasions last year. Loved the playoff 2 years, whatever, 3 years ago now.
Yes. Yep.
But I'm with you. I still don't know. And maybe we're quibbling about nothing. Maybe it's...
The worst thing that happened to Lance Boma is he scored 16 goals.
Agreed. 100%. Because then the contract followed, and the expectations followed, and he was never going to do it again.
Well, and part of it is, whether you like it or not, his style of play lends him to have what happen?
Get hurt. Yeah. And he did.
Blocking shots with... I've never seen a human being block more shots and find pucks with areas where you are not equipped.
I mangled his hand.
How many nights have we watched him leave the ice thinking there's no way he comes back?
Yeah. The grimace to the bench feels like an every night thing with him. It's crazy where he's putting his body in front of pucks.
Right. I mean, you know what? It's a really hard game, but with where the cap is and when you think about, if you were 100% convinced that this guy is a top six.
Ferland?
Yes. Then I am going 4 years.
Right. But if he is 100% a top six, you're not getting him for that number. It's going to be higher. So I think the price I'm talking about is built in that he hasn't established himself as that. Here, the facts we know, the top line, did it get better or worse when he went up there on the right side?
At the end, it got better.
But that's when they moved him up there.
No.
Wasn't it mid-season he went up?
Ryan, how many times was he tried there in the last two seasons?
Correct. I'm just talking last year.
The turning point was the night in Nashville, Tennessee. And then everything went pretty well from there on in. But look at that point total. That point total is not 45 or 50.
No, but would it be crazy to expect he could get that if... with a full season slotted where he was there? I mean, the best combo they had on the right side on the top line, the best option they had all year was that guy. And he played well there.
Now,
and he was on the first power play
in the back half, he played pretty well.
Yeah. On this team, a team that's somewhat devoid of right-wing talent, he was the best option.
Mm-hmm.
That's not saying he's the best option, period.
No.
Are there better options out there?
Of course. And you know what? If Frolik's a better right winger, but you didn't want to break that lineup. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, I'm not saying he's a top line right winger.
And Michael doesn't
top
slot
line right
there.
Wingers cost like $5-6 million a year.
He's not that.
He is not a top line right winger, but he can play there for a bit. He's shown it. And if you need him to be a third line right winger, I mean,
I love
those guys get paid well too.
Listen. For this team to be a championship team, he needs to get to that place, in my opinion. Or very close.
Top six right winger, yeah.
Well, top six winger.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
I mean, the left side is pretty well looked after the last time I checked on your top two lines with Gaudreau and some guy named Tkachuk.
That's why, just to double back to the beginning, what is the agent going to say he is, and what does the team think he is?
Right.
How confident are they in the 15 goals, and how much will they say he had 25 points?
That's... Again.
Yep.
Interesting one
for sure. He's a versatile guy, too. I mean, it's...
Listen, it's
an unusual case. Not a lot of times you have a guy that's played, as you noted, under 200 games, and he's basically spent a third of the season on the top line and two-thirds in the bottom six. It's a tough thing to put a value on.
And the other thing is, like I said, I think I'll double back to this. A, I'm a big Michael Ferland fan. But B, it's hard for me to give anybody a long term. I'm not talking money. I'm talking term.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I know
what they are
and where they're going to fit on my depth chart.
Yeah. I think in a worst case scenario, is he a second line right winger? Like, are you comfy with him being that for the next 3-4 years? I am. And $2 million for one of those isn't bad. So I would, if I'm the Flames and he wants term, 8-4. I just don't think that can blow up in your face. It's really hard because he's the skills he has.
And
Even if he's just a third line right winger.
You're
giving Brouwer 4.5, and he's better than him by quite a bit.
Stop.
What do you mean stop? I mean,
don't always go back to the worst comparable possible. Like, you compare everybody on the planet to Troy Brouwer's deal.
Well, he plays the right side, and he's a winger.
I mean, understand.
I think it's a fair point. As much as you don't like me doing it, it's important to note that he was a lot more impactful than that guy, and you're not even in the same neighborhood price-wise.
Okay.
You know, that's an interesting conversation, too. Because I want to see if we're having the same conversation about him.
I hope we're not.
At the end of November of this coming
season. I hope it's a fantastic year for Troy Brouwer, because last year was the exact opposite, right? It was probably the worst year of his career, he'd tell you.
I'm sure he would. And I'm sure a lot of it had to do with being in a very different situation in his life, in the marketplace he was in, and everything that goes hand in hand with being in a Canadian market signing that kind of a deal on July 1st, and now when it doesn't necessarily start well, guess what? Lose confidence, and you start fighting an uphill battle.
We did it leading into July 1. You're looking at this team and thinking of where's the offense and all that. You just don't even bring up his name.
He's Troy a fourth Brown. Line right winger.
You just don't even think of him that's as any kind of.
And it's then that's at this point that is fair.
He's put himself in that spot, right?
You know, and again, where this team is headed, and we don't know. This here's what I've learned after 70,000 games that I feel like I've seen or covered. One year, you can nobody can sit in this room. I don't care who you are, how much experience, how much you know about the game. We don't know what's going to happen this year.
No,
it's true. Yep.
Every year is its own entity. Injuries, career years, you know, worst years of people's career.
Talk about Michael Stone, because before the break, that's the one I think people for the most part were down with the Hamonic deal because it works with Brody, right shot, gutsy guy, wanted to come here, all of that. And I don't think that the deal that was given to Stone was universally applauded.
No, and I understand that. Okay? But here's what I'll say to that. And I tweeted it last week. I was on the show with you guys last week, hoping that somehow they could find a way to get it done. And Mr. Treleving's credit, they got it done. I think it's as fine a group of five as I can remember in this town for a long, long time. It gives you great flexibility. It gives you every type of matchup situation. It gives you someone who you know can be in the top four if there is an injury. Here's what people need to quit falling in love with. Stop it. Let's don't forget about people who have already established themselves, by and large, in the league and what we know we're going to get instead of being so fascinated with what's coming. Did we not applaud the Detroit Red Wings for 100 years because they could take their prospects and let them marinate like your favorite beverage, sauce? For those of you who like your sauce, let it happen. I love it. I love it. And the other thing is, don't kid yourself. The Oilers and where they're at and how you're going to have to try to match them and play against them and the extra pressure that goes hand in hand, and it's there. Sorry, said it last week, we'll say it again. That's a factor. Well, you don't have Connor McDavid. Some might even say you don't even have Leon Draisaitl. I'm not, you know, I think this team has some pretty good people when they're at their best up front. But those, the one guy's off the charts. So if you're going to have to check those people for the next number of years, I like the group that's been built.
It's a coach's dream, isn't it? To be able to roll out two different pairings, even and if a fifth guy, if needed, that you trust in all situations?
You know, listen, people can say, and I took some heat on Twitter about Bartkowski. And we'll see how that goes. I'm not saying that that position is set in stone. You know, it would be wonderful for the organization this September if Kulak, whoever it's going to be at 6 and 7, stepped up and showed they're ready. Mm-hmm. But listen. It didn't happen last year because guess what? The coaching staff felt like they weren't ready.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fine. I want to see. Okay. That's pretty good because I don't like watching prospects grow and develop. So I'm not, you know, I'm speaking as a guy who loves to watch young people progress. Might be my favorite part of the whole sport. So I'm not trying to downplay that we want to see people. But there's no need to rush. Do you want to win?
Because that's the argument.
This team is getting close to being able, in my opinion, it's never been closer.
Yeah.
Probably since the late 80s, early 90s. And I know what happened in 04, and I'd never take anything away from it, and it was wonderful. But I think this team is getting awfully close to being what I call an elite team. And elite teams have a chance to win Stanley Cups.
Because some people are, they feel like the Stone signing now for 3 years, and you look at the duration of the contracts, that it may well keep youth on the blue line out of the NHL.
No, it doesn't have to, because guess what? This is a game of asset management. It's like Michael Ferland. It's how you manage your assets. You don't have to be married to those five guys.
Yeah.
If Yusel Välimäki or Adam Fox or, you know, Shillington, Anderson step up and are ready, guess what? That might give you an opportunity to swing one of those other guys, depending on the year it happens or when, to help yourself even more.
Agree 100%. I always thought they had to go get a veteran for that third pairing. I hadn't circled Stone because I didn't think he'd sign for 3.5.
No.
But you're right. If you're in a situation where your young guys on ELCs are outplaying one of these guys, by all means, flip one of them for picks. Go recoup some of those assets.
Right.
The other side of it is that no one's talked about, at least that I've heard, Mark Giordano is still an elite defenseman.
Yes.
When does he stop being an elite defenseman? I don't know. So to just say, hey, there's our top four and everyone's good for 3 years, hang on now. I'm hoping that he can still be elite in for the next 3 years, but as you just noted, you never know what is going to come.
No, you don't.
And so it certainly is, I think, a really good insurance policy on that top four at a minimum.
It's great depth.
Yeah.
I was looking this morning for the Ducks when Brandon Montour came in. He's 23, right? And he came in and he looked great. But he is 23,
yes.
And if Rasmus Anderson is really good or Shillington,
yes.
I would guess as the
they're
Stone,
gonna play
as the Stone deal gets into year two and then year three, I don't think we're gonna be sitting saying, man, if only Stone had signed a 2 year deal than a three, that guy'd be playing. But instead, we got to keep
no.
Him
if he's out playing him, they'll play him.
They'll
ahead of him.
Play.
It's
him.
Like the goalie situation. If you have great depth in every spot in your organization. That's how you, when you make good trades from positions of what?
Strength
or weakness? Strength. I love it. When I look at the back end, I think there's a chance this group could be set for the better part of a decade. Because as some of, you know, Giordano and other people start, you know, adding some more years, potentially you've got some kids.
Yeah. And I just, final thought, because we will get to break.
Yeah.
It goes doubles back to the Detroit thing. You never really hear about teams, they made him wait too long.
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite always.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have a luxury where you don't need to rush guys in. Here's one for you. Would love to hear Lou's thoughts on who should play with Bennett to help him succeed. Now, there's another guy that needs a contract.
Yes. What's that going to look like?
The thing that makes that one different is because he's such a high first-round pick. I don't know that the agent is going to say, oh, yeah, well, he hasn't been very good, so we'll just take 175. Drysdale's getting 9.
Teuvo Teravainen's an interesting comparable. Similar age, similar games played, point production somewhat similar. I think there's a better established market for Bennett because there are a lot of comparables. I find Ferland a really tough guy to go find someone that's had the similar NHL career to this point.
And even in Sam's case, you know, 2 years ago, very productive on the wing. Mm-hmm. Last year, you know, to me, a learning year at center. Still not 100% sure exactly where he potentially fits.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard one. To me, that's got Bridge written all over it.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah.
And for Sam, probably makes a lot of
sense.
It's
going to have to be because the Flames aren't going to pay him a lot of money.
For
starters, because he doesn't have any. I mean, if they hardlined Gaudreau, with no leverage, they're not going to give in here. We talked to Gullitson, last week, earlier this week, about him playing at center, and that continues to be the choice.
That's the plan.
And the plan.
So far.
Yeah.
No.
So far.
Yeah. Boy, aren't you tempted to just draw the lineup with him on the right side of that top line at times? I mean, just to think of that talent on the ice together, and we saw it for, like, cups of coffee throughout the last couple of years, but there'd be some fireworks happening if those three played together.
And the other thing is too, you know, because of Sam's age, he still might be with you for 10 or 11 or 12 more years.
He could play the wing for a couple before he goes back to center. Who knows,
absolutely.
Right?
Depending, you know, and I did. I thought potentially by this time they may have added
a center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wondered if in free agency they'd look that way, because even a 2 or 3, and as it turns out, 2 and 3 year deals, that was the order of the day July 1.
It was.
Term went out the window. If Bennett plays 2 years on a wing, is that the worst thing for his development?
You know,
I don't
know
what it is.
We have Michael Backlund's deal not too far down the road, and where are we going?
Have you heard anything on that, Boom?
Zero.
Because I know he's eligible for the extension. Either. I don't know that every guy that's eligible come a year for free agency gets re-upped the summer, but he is a guy that I think you can't understate his value having watched what he's brought them the last 2 to 3 years. He's finally been healthy and playing full seasons.
He's been fantastic.
He's made his wingers better the last 2-3 years. And the other thing, and that maybe I'm wrong, and you'd be able to speak to this better than I could, Lou, but hearing him speak at the end of the year at the awards gala, he absolutely feels like he owes the organization for staying with him through some tough years, through some lean years. I think he wants to be here. I don't think it's one where he's going to say, well, see you on July 1, I go to the highest bidder. I think he'd love to be here if it works.
I do too.
And I think the team recognizes what they have. They were patient. Mm-hmm. And they're being rewarded, and now they're going to have to reward the player a little bit.
They are.
But I think between the coach, his affinity for the player, I think the player likes the coach, the GM, the scenario.
Yeah.
There's not a lot, like, there are teams where he would be a second-line center. Not all of them, but it's, grass isn't always greener.
Well, I'd say he'd be a top-line center.
I mean, this past year, he was this team's best centerman.
Yeah, I'm just saying, the scenario under which he's in, that's about as good as you'd want it to be.
It is.
The way that line's playing, you look at those two wingers, Frolik still got term, Kachuk's only getting better. I mean, you go find a better situation for Michael Backlund. They were phenomenal this year.
If he felt like he was being held down, I think it'd be a different story, but I think that he's blossomed and the team needs him, and
it's a great story.
Have you guys seriously not asked Lou about Jágr? Get it together.
We've started a campaign. I don't know if you've been made.
I don't like the look. I don't like the look. Lou, just got to just think about it.
Just think of the hair. Think of the hands. Think of the midnight workouts. The puck handling with socks on at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, out there in his flip flops. Yog's on the charter.
Think of the models in the dome. I mean, we are talking showtime when Yags comes to town.
Power play, slow it down.
Yeah.
Sweet dishes.
Yeah. Oh. Protect it in the corners.
Work the walls.
Yeah. If Sam Gagner can do it in Columbus.
Oh, please. So you guys are completely on this wagon.
I think we built the wagon. We varnished it.
Okay, that's good.
I don't
good.
Know if we're serious, but we love the wagon.
Okay, all right. All right. I mean, there's some pretty neat things to the wagon.
Yeah, like I honestly don't know that it makes any sense, but then I start to think about it and say,
Do you know what the greatest thing is on the serious side of that conversation? And I, you know, do whatever you want with the hair and bringing all the guys in every week. You know, we can have the traveling Jágrs here all the time as opposed to once a year that they come in, and they're a lot of fun and it's great. The best thing on a serious note is, who knows better than the head coach of your team?
Yeah.
As to whether where your group is and how it would fit and how it would work. Because you know what? The last few years, okay, and I don't mean to be Debbie Downer.
I know where you're going.
For all you Jágr fans.
I don't like the sounds of this.
But this vehicle isn't, you know, quite the Lamborghini necessarily all the time. That
never was. Never really was a Lamborghini.
No.
More of a bulldozer.
But no. Hey, listen, what he has been able to do in his career is have, you know, it's spectacular. You know, he'll be in the Hall of Fame in 5 minutes, and should be. But
I would just love to see him on a power play in Edmonton, dish into Gaudreau for a goal, and have them, like, jumping into the glass. It's Yogs.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I hope it's not over for him. I mean, you know.
Oh, me too.
Ha-ha's aside, like, that's a guy that scored 27 2 years ago as a 43-year-old.
That's on our pro list. We made pros and cons.
Are you kidding me? At 43, he almost had 30 goals and still quite productive. I mean, he's defied logic. You're not supposed to be able to do what he's done at his age.
No,
it can't be over now, can it?
Chris Chelios, the last individual to
play
at this type of age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not over now, is it? I mean, we're now into almost a week loose of free agency.
I hope not. We'll see.
Let him breathe here, Dean. Let him breathe. He hasn't played in Canada yet. Let's do this.
Right. I don't like a lot of the feedback I'm getting from people that matter. The fans are all on board.
Oh, well, you know what?
Everybody's on board.
Gotta sell jerseys if you're not going to put the retros together.
That's right. I'm not sure, however, that, you know, the higher-ups really see it as a feasible option.
Well, listen, you know, on more of a serious note here, too, price point in that wheelhouse is everything.
I know.
If you can get this guy under $2 million, I don't know how it doesn't.
Oh, don't say that. It's got to be the right fit.
It does, absolutely.
No, everything this team has done, everything this general manager has built, the kind of people that they've brought in. I know. I put a lot of value in it. You got to be. Do not take this ship now. And, you know.
Did you say ship?
Ship.
Is it a T or a P? Yeah.
That's a P. And I won't say the other one, and I won't say the P word.
All right.
G-Rana. Lou, don't call Peter Clark. I don't care if it's 2017. You do not call another individual that word on public airwaves.
Not once.
Twice.
G-Rana, not once, but twice, said the word prick.
I'm hosting the game in the middle of winter, and Lou comes in like,
I didn't even say that? Combat Central.
Oh, man.
Prick.
Yeah.
Prick.
Lou, don't break my heart like this. I need yogs.
Is he the wrong guy? Is that what you're alluding to, or are you just saying be careful with anyone?
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I just, you know, those people have the intel, and in this case, you have great intel because you have a head coach who has already coached him, knows the whole circus, the late night, how he fits, how he doesn't, the whole spectacle. Maybe Glenn would think it's a great idea. And if he did, then you know what? I'm all in. But if there's any question, I'm out. Because those guys, those two guys at the helm, coaching and the general manager, I think those two guys are on the right track in a big way. So if they're in, then I can probably be convinced.
This is where I start lobbying for Lou to stay for another segment.
This is where I start saying, screw the 8 o'clock break. Let's go right to 8:20 and slam two together, Jay. But yeah.
I know you gotta go and stuff, but this is where I start saying.
How long is it gonna take me to get to Winsport?
20 minutes. Max.
At this time of day?
Well, max. Right, yeah. Like 8 minutes. Seven, 8 minutes.
It's a very pro loose day.
Because I want to be there for 9.
You got tons of time.
Okay, well then I don't have to.
All right. More loop.
Bike there in an hour.
Next.
Maybe one last gasp here for the Oilers. Bergeron fans on a pass. Stephen steals and he'll ice it. Oh, at least I thought he was gonna until he blew it. That's unbelievable. Here come the Oilers the other way, and Hemsky's loose. Hemsky, he scored! Can you believe what we just saw?
Goosebumps! One of my favorite calls from Peter Laubardius. This is going to make you very unhappy.
Okay.
Because we're so old. Guy texted in earlier. Wow, I didn't even know Peter Laubardius used to do play-by-play.
Can I tell you guys, I've almost forgot myself. And Lord knows I've tried. I'm very proud of that call, by the way. And I have no trouble saying that. I was going to tell you guys a story. Here's my career lately in a nutshell. So I'm in Toronto. Andrew Walker sees me the day we did the mock.
Yeah.
The day we did the mock with Sammy. So he goes, why don't you come over and join us in studio for a while? I said, well, of course, I'll come over. So I'm sitting with, like, because I don't have a pass for the place, obviously. And I'm sitting in, you know, like where they have a room kind of similar to where Jay sits here. And I'm sitting beside an intern. And this guy looks at me, and you know what's coming next, don't you? He goes, oh, are you here to intern too?
Jeez.
Are you know what? 33 frickin' years in this business. That's right, Hank. I'm here to intern. Is this where my career has gone? Guy looks at me and goes, oh, you have a, you know, what show are you interning on? First of all, what do I? I'm 50 bloody almost two. Do I look like an intern?
You look about 20 years younger than you are, Lou. I'll give you credit for
that.
Well,
okay, fine. And I don't, but thank you. But that was it right there. Yeah. So, needless to say, when I started that segment, That guy took some beating. He had to go for coffee.
Yeah, of course.
Because I hammered him three times. That's right. First of all, who are you? Yeah, that's right.
Come on, young man.
I know I've had a few, you know, downturns in my career, but holy Dinah.
I'd say you're on the up and up, Lou.
Come on. And then, of course, there was my first ever Lou story. Lou is in Red Deer.
Oh, yeah.
I am hosting Rebels hockey.
Yeah.
Sitting in the pub.
It's a great spot. I still like...
Oh, yeah.
The last time I was there, I did a show. Did a hit.
Moeller and Moon up there ripping it up. I'm down in the pub.
It's awesome.
There's Peter Lombardi's. Hey, Lou, can you come on between periods? Sure. We do the thing in the pub. All right. Yeah, yeah. So he comes down there, and I made the mistake. I think I said, coming up from, this dates it, right? From CTV Sportsnet. Isn't that what it was at the beginning?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, when I started, yeah.
Yeah, so Lou's there. Actually, it's Rogers Sportsnet now. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. Not the greatest gear, right, in small market, right?
Mm-hmm. Old stuff.
Lou sits down, and we're wearing the headsets.
He loves
this. I don't know why this makes me laugh.
But it does every
but
time.
But he puts on, this is my first Lou interaction. Puts on the headset microphone, and I'm checking his levels. Can you give me... These are the biggest cans I've ever worn in my life.
Yeah. And he just killed himself.
These are the biggest cans I've ever worn in my life. Where was your first play-by-play gig?
Estevan, Saskatchewan, 1985.
Go Bruins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 years is the voice of the Estevan Bruins.
So give us the chronological order.
The progression?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was there. And then...
any notable names there?
In Estevan?
Coaches?
Oh, Jerry James. To this day, one of my favorite people to work with.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Jerry's background, former CFL star and a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Okay.
And even at that time, one of the strongest guys you'd ever find. And you did not want to mess with him. But for whatever reason, we had a great, great relationship. And so that's where it all started. I was there for 4 years, and I got hired in Regina, and for the better part of almost five, I was the voice of the Regina Pats. Then I got into TV and did about 4 years in Saskatoon with a little stop in Winnipeg, a little stop in Regina. Then I went to Edmonton for three.
I told Pinder this morning you were in Winnipeg for about 2 hours.
Yeah, with Dreger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long were you in Winnipeg?
4 months.
Yeah.
Didn't last long.
Who's the new guy on the TV? Oh, it's Lubardius. He's from Saskatchewan. Oh, where'd he go? Yeah, I don't know. He's gone.
Yeah. Roger Millions left what was then STV Saskatoon, and they hired me back to be the sports director there. So Raj went to Edmonton that time. I went there and then went to Edmonton, then went to Sportsnet, and here I am after, all these years.
So you did... Basically, you left play-by-play
Regina. For a long time.
And then did basically just like TV, like on the desk, right?
Right.
Like,
and then in 2002, I'll never forget it and thankful for it every single day, had a chance to call my first junior game on national television, 2002, a playoff game between the Erie Otters and Rick Nash and the London Knights.
Whoa.
Carlo Koliakovo with the winner in overtime in game 6 was the first game I'd ever done. And then... Yeah.
And then voice of the Oilers for a while.
Yeah, part-time voice of the Oilers for a while.
Was it you and Kevin Quinn's sharing duties?
Yeah, it wasn't sharing. I did anywhere between like 8 and 12 games.
Okay.
And obviously, became the main junior guy in the 2003-2004 season at Sportsnet. And then came here to do 3 years of play-by-play, for those old enough to remember. From 08-09 through the 10-11 season, and then there was a little hiccup.
And now?
Now entering, hard to believe, year number 5 as the color analyst of the Calgary Flames on radio.
And how big play-by-play to color is different universes, and you've made it sound easy, but I cannot imagine
that
something that would go as smoothly as it has. Like, having done a bunch of play-by-play, color would be a nightmare for me. Totally different art.
Completely. And still very much learning every day. about how to get better and how to prepare. And, you know, now to me, it's every day that I go to the rink, it's about what can you learn more technically about the game.
Google it.
You Google it.
You got to react to your play-by-play guy rather than someone reacting to you.
Yeah.
Totally different.
You Google it.
That was funny. It's one of my favorite Jay DeForest clips ever.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that one. So you know what? It's just a hockey love affair. And I think anybody who knows me, I love being at the rink. And, you know, today I'm going back to the rink in July, and there's no place I'd rather be. And the great thing is I always feel like every day being at the rink, there's something to be learned.
And what are you doing tonight?
Tonight I'm going to Seaman Stadium in Okotoks.
I thought so. He was fist pumping when I had the dogs at home before Mac.
And I cannot wait.
Where does that park rank for you? Because there's great minor league parks all over North America.
Oh, boy.
Like, it's way
up
there,
is it
not?
You know what? And I've said it many times. 2008, I believe, was the year. And Canada that year was hosting the World Junior Men's Baseball Championship in Edmonton. And as a precursor, they played the United States in a pre-tournament game in Okotoks. I didn't know anything about the place. Didn't know anything. I made that drive down that road, and I looked to my left, and I'll do it again tonight because I love it. And I'm like, we are not in small town Alberta right now. I almost literally, like when people say they literally almost drove off the road, I almost drove off the road and fell in love with the place instantly. And listen, not only is it an unbelievable ballpark, an incredible facility, they treat you like gold there.
Yeah.
From the time you walk through the door, William Gardner and, you know, all his pals are there shaking your hand, coming in, going out. It is as good a family experience as you will find, you know, at this time of the year. It is just awesome.
It is like they are inviting you into their living room.
Yes, they well are, said.
They own it. Like, the people of Okotoks, they've taken ownership. They're so proud of it. It's
as
like,
they
please
should be.
Come in, have a hot dog, have a drink. It's not gonna, they're not going to gouge the hell out
no.
of you. It's affordable. It's a great product. Come and enjoy the ballpark. I there's nothing like it.
Oh, I can't wait.
We have former Dogs manager Brandon Newell joining us at 9:25 and at the beginning of the dog season, because we talked Jays with him mostly. I said, if people haven't been, how would you describe it? He said, baseball Disneyland.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
And how about,
like, if you're a baseball head, it just, it's
and
like
how about the midget and bantam park that they have right beside? Like, it's crazy.
And you know what's great, too? I live in the south part of the city. My two boys have gone and taken part in baseball camps indoors at the field house and have been instructed by Dogs players. The money goes back into that facility. They give back to the community. They give back to the kids. It is terrific.
So one of my two best buddies comes here last winter. So, you know, what do most best buddies do? Like, you guys, they go out and drink. What do I do with my best buddies? Well, first of all, we go watch.
Tony?
No, Abe, who I don't know if you've met along the way or not, but he comes to town, and we end up in Okotoks watching Peyton Krebs play bantam hockey, because I hadn't seen the kid, the former now first overall pick who's coming into the league, into the Western League this year on a full-time basis. So we go out there and watch him, and I go, you know what? I know it's winter and I know it's dark, but you've never been to this ballpark. I don't know what we're going to do over there, but we're close enough. Yeah. We're going. So sure as hell, I tap on the door. Somebody inside knew who I was, lucky enough, gave us the whole tour of the indoor facility and the, I love it there. I love it there.
Talking about buddies, and I know you'd have been in the same boat, how proud and happy were you for Cosentino at the draft?
Oof.
Because he
killed
crushed it.
Yeah,
what do you have, the top six picks from his mock were absolutely bang on. His coverage, and the thing of it is, while we're talking about, we still only know 30% of the Cosentino experience, because he's one of the funniest guys, sharp, quick, witty. If we were able to have him in this kind of a setting,
are you kidding me?
On a regular basis,
we need to do that. By the way, maybe this year if he's coming through,
I would yes, I would move heaven and earth to have him in.
Let's do
to
it.
Have you guys in for a full show.
Because, wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. Because he shares a lot of your passion and knowledge and depth of knowledge and all of that. But he's such a funny guy. I think when you see him on when he was on with the baseball team and when he's on doing that, he doesn't have the opportunity to share his personality and sense of humor.
Well, I mean, I'm a little biased. He's one of my best friends. And, you know, one of the hardest parts about what I do now is that I don't get to spend the same amount of time, you know, with him.
Because you two were doing...
Because, you know, we did junior hockey together for 6 years. Yeah. And, you know, I was lucky enough to go to my boss at the time. Tough situation with John Drews, who left his daughter with cancer. And unfortunately for poor John... lost his daughter last year, and you know I met Sammy a couple of times, and I said, well, maybe we should give this guy a run. And you know, he tells a funny story about how apparently, like you and Red Deer, I looked at him funny the first night we ever did a game together back in 2003-04, I think it was, in Hamilton. But I can honestly, you talked about career earlier, when him and I were on that run for 6 years, It didn't get better.
When you're in the pocket,
I say this all the time. When you, because everybody knows my love of hockey, and obviously I love junior hockey, and you know, very proud of my love affair for it. But when you're doing what you love to do in the role you love the most with someone you love and care about, like you know, I do him. Like
I know,
it was the greatest.
Yeah,
and just to this day, I wish it could have lasted forever. To be honest, but just so lucky for that 6 years. And you know, now you know, last year when I'm sick, you know who was there every second or third day, sliding 10 minutes down the road, helping take it to the doctor. And
can I ask you about that? Because that was kind of a weird period for us because we didn't really know, you didn't know. It's not our story to share, so we would have people texting, and obviously they care about you. You went through a tough time medically, physically.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, indulge.
No, well, you know, last season, from early February until the middle of March, I battled like a terrible cold, what I thought was like pneumonia or something along those lines, a virus, and I'm a guy who never gets sick or never had gotten sick to that point in time, and I could not get rid of this cough, and it was, you know, it was driving me crazy, and I just couldn't get healthy, was on a couple different antibiotics. And then we go, not this season but the past season, on a trip to, you know, Toronto and Montreal. Well, I don't want to be graphic, but things in my system started changing and did not look right. I did not feel, I don't even know that night how I ever finished that game in Toronto before, you know, and went to the doctor and looked at my skin and it was starting to turn yellow. And I was in the airport to go to Minnesota. I'd never missed a game ever. And like, look, you know, Nancy and I are discussing like, what are we going to do? And fortunately the doctor phoned me. I was sitting at the gate, and he goes, you're not going anywhere. You're coming back to this clinic, you're grabbing papers, and we're putting you through a boatload of tests. So for 8-9 weeks, boys, if I could have scratched my body right off and handed it to somebody else, I would have. I couldn't sleep, yellow, you know, blood work every single day. At one point, they said to Nance, you better be prepared, because when it's not this, 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 and this, most of the time it's pancreatic or liver cancer. So she sat on that. She didn't even tell me that for about 4 or 5 days. And I'm just one of the lucky ones. You know, you guys asked me about Dave Semenko last week, and, you know, that was kind of the road that I went down. And their best, and it's a guess, I think it's a combination of stress and sometimes living the life that I live and being in a lot of different places, and some stress and all kinds of things that we don't need to share on this program, but would at some point. I think I just, my system said that's enough. And their best guess to this day is I had a severe allergic reaction to the second antibiotic I was on to try and deal with the cough or pneumonia, or had a spot on my chest or whatever. And it just, and my liver levels never came back to normal until right before the start of last season. But knock on wood, everything's been fine.
Well, I remember that day because all of a sudden we needed to get someone on a plane to get to Minnesota. It's not about the broadcast. It's like, okay, well, now we know it's serious. You know, Lou's not feeling well, but, you know, he's on the road.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. Yeah. Lou's never missed a game in his life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it became very real and scary.
Yeah, and again, you know, it became a lot more public in some ways than I would have liked it to, because, but there's no doubt, like, I'm not downplaying it in the sense that for a while it was scary in those first 2 months. Were no fun. Mm-hmm. March, April, into May. But I will say this, I couldn't make it back for any of the remaining 9 games of the regular season, and thought about it a couple times, almost came back for the last 3 games and just couldn't. Probably shouldn't have broadcast the Western Hockey League final last year, all things considered. But you know what? And it's amazing to me. My health turned like 180 degrees doing that series, getting back involved, getting off the couch, getting your mind right again. And it was like, after that, things just progressively went better.
And I understand you got a new deal in your pocket.
Yes.
Flames hockey.
Yes.
New 3-year deal.
I do. Yeah. Delighted.
You are you're a good man. Thanks
right
for stopping by.
You.
Well, let's work on this Cosentino. That would be an absolute treat.
Oh, we'll get it done.
We'll
get it done. If his schedule allows it this coming season, we'll make it happen.
Love you, pal.
Okay,
thanks
right
for coming
back at
in.
You.
Take
okay,
care.
Guys.
There he is, folks. Peter Labardius.